Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. Season 7, Episode 66, David DeCastro. And it's Chiefs week, and it's AFC Divisional Playoff week, more importantly, as the Steelers and Chiefs will get ready to play at Arrowhead at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And remember, as always, you can hear Charlie Batch and I across the Steeler Radio Network immediately following the game, doing the recap. And Dave, since we spoke on Monday, the news is the Mike Tomlin press conference. We had a chance to discuss the Joey Porter incident on Monday. These two things, the Porter incident and the Ben Roethlisberger incident, dominated the post-game conversation. And now we sit here, and Ben looks like he's going to be fine. Joey looks like he's not going to be with the team, although Mike surprisingly didn't rule it out for this week, but he's on leave. The Pittsburgh acting police chief said that everything that the acting officer did, the arresting officer did with Porter, was appropriate. They had body camera video and a bunch of other things. So that's where things stand. What's your take on kind of where we've been since we finished up Monday?
Well, I think with Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, as positive news as you could probably hope for. I listened to his radio show on Tuesday morning, and he said the boot was totally precautionary. After the game, because remember he was running off the field with Burt Lawton. After that game was over, the cameras had picked that up, and that's why immediately when somebody on Twitter asked me what I think about Ben getting hurt late in that game, immediately after it ended, I said probably nothing to it, because you just see him running off the field. But of course, probably some adrenaline associated with that as well too. But Ben said had the foot x-rayed immediately after the game. Wore the boot as a precautionary, had an MRI after that, a little bit sore, probably not going to practice Wednesday because he normally has a day off on Wednesday, but expects to be out there Thursday and Friday practicing, and then expects to play Sunday in Kansas City. So good news there. As far as Joey Porter goes, I mean, they didn't fire him, and I think you and I both agreed that that probably wasn't going to happen right out of the chute. They did place him on leave. I think that's probably the appropriate thing to do here. I reiterate, why you got to go out after a game with a couple of players, allegedly. I don't get that. Go home and watch some tape like the rest of us.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to, people celebrate however they want to celebrate. And, I don't find that unusual for young guys to do that. We can debate his choice of location and who he associated with. But this doesn't really seem to be who he associated with. It seems to be Joey having a prior incident at that location and then having another incident. And Joey's, the strike against Joey here. Obviously he made a mistake, it appears, on Monday or on Sunday night. But I don't know that that's really the strike at the end of the day that may cost Joey. It's the fact that he's had about five other strikes along the way. And, look, we're all, I think, hopefully willing to forgive, certain indiscretions or certain mistakes along the way. Joey got shot in Colorado. That's, a famous incident there. There are reports of Joey getting into some kind of engagement at North Catholic football games where he has a son playing, I guess, and Mike Tomlin's boys go to school there, and Jason Gilden was the coach there. And there's, supposedly Joey was berating officials and involved in some arguments there. So, that's not something you want to have happen. So, again, these types of things, they happen. I don't think they're I'm certainly not dismissing it. But it was interesting to hear Ramon Foster talk last night on his radio program, where he said the silver lining, and he basically said, is it doesn't matter. It doesn't impact us on the field. We're not losing any of our guys. And I think, honestly, that's at the end of the day the deal. This isn't good. The impact on the Steelers is going to be negligible. The analogy Mike gave in his press conference about we face adversity. Sometimes it's publicly known. Sometimes it isn't. They had a staffer last year lose a family member, the staffer wasn't able to be there, the defensive quality control coach, I guess, for a couple of days. So other people had to pick up and do the work. Mike's right. The impact on this, Dave, in my mind, negligible. It's unfortunate it happened, but, non-event.
Yeah, and it sounds like Keith Butler will coach, the outside linebackers in the meantime here. It's a silly question because I know the answer. If the Steelers lose to the Chiefs, it's going to be talked about as this being a distraction and part of the reason why.
It won't be one of the first five things talked about.
I think it will probably be in one of the top five, along with Tyreek Hill.
Really? You think people are going to say they lost because Joey Porter wasn't there?
I think it's because of the distraction, not because he's not there.
Do you think practice is going to go differently today because Joey Porter's not there?
No, I just think that the overall distraction, the players having to answer questions about it, distractions can come in different form or fashion, not just him not being at practice. I don't think it's going to be I don't believe the discussion will be related any to Joey not being there. It's going to be related around distraction from having to answer questions about it and yada yada, that kind of thing.
I guess, the flip side of that is, James Harrison doesn't speak to the media except on Friday. I don't think that'll be a short conversation. So Bud Dupree is going to have to answer a couple of questions. I mean, those are the only two guys who play outside linebacker anymore. So, I don't know. You're not gonna ask Le'Veon Bell about Joey Porter, right?
Ben was asked about it. All the players are probably going to be asked about it. David DeCastro was asked about it.
Where were they asked about it?
DeCastro was asked on
Monday.
On Monday, I think.
Yeah, I think in the locker room on Monday, those guys dealt with it, and now it's done. I mean, I just don't think they're going to ask every day. How's Joey Porter affecting David DeCastro?
Well, every player doesn't talk to the media every day either. So
I'm just saying, if I were in the locker room and I'm in there trying to do interviews and talking about stuff, I'm not asking any player about Joey Porter except Bud Dupree now. On Monday, I understand because it happened Sunday night. Now you're doing stuff. I got a lot of better questions to ask David DeCastro about having to deal with Dontari Poe and other stuff than, how's it going with Joey Porter?
Some probably still will. But, I'm not – like I said, David, I don't think it's going to be obviously the number one thing that people are talking about. But top five, I can view people trying to point to that as being a distraction.
Okay, so let's say.
Look at what happened with the New York Giants players going on the boat.
But those guys then went out and didn't perform well. Those guys didn't perform well in the game. Joey's not playing.
Right, but it's the same type of thing in my eyes.
Okay, well, I think that is times 50 because a bunch of guys in Florida travel. Okay, but let me ask you this. Do you think Joey Porter will be back with the Steelers? Let's say they win the game Sunday, hypothetically. Do you think he will be back with the Steelers this year?
Oh, wow. I would just be guessing.
Yeah, we're both guessing. I don't think so.
Man, do you really want Joey Porter giving interviews at the Super Bowl?
You want to talk about a distraction, then maybe it becomes a distraction that way.
So I would venture a guess and say no, because let's face it: if you beat Kansas City, you're on to probably New England, and then of course if you win there and get to the Super Bowl, I don't know if I want Joey Porter facing the media during Super Bowl week. So I would guess no, he's not going
to
be.
Although you can make a flip side argument that if Joey's facing him, that means less for the players to do. So you can twist these things however you want to twist them. Okay, so the Ben thing comes out.
Let me ask you this. Is Joey Porter done?
I would like to think not.
That's not the question.
Yeah, so my answer was he won't be with, well, I think I said this Monday, I don't think he'll be with the team this year, and I do think he'll be back next year. But his leash is now, it's not short, it's one loop. He's got one link on the chain left. That's how tight his leash is. If that thing, if anything happens going forward, it's thank you, Joey. And by the way, you got Kevin Green involved. Nice job. You did. I really think you might have.
I don't know what happened there, but it happened.
No, you know what happened. He sent out, you wrote about it. He sent out a couple tweets.
Yeah, he, well, I mean, look, we talked about it on Monday there. And
yeah, you got him involved. And I mean, somebody asked us on Twitter, is Kevin Green going to get hired this week? Steelers aren't doing anything this year. I mean, is Joey's there or not there? You don't go out and replace a guy.
It was kind of strange. You know, we talked about it on Monday. Then people started, more of the incident came out. People started tweeting at Kevin Green on Tuesday, it appears. And Kevin Green started retweeting everybody asking him to come and coach the Steelers. And I wrote about it about 10 retweets in. And then Kevin Green reaches out to me and says I'm interested and make sure, like, I have a whole hell of a lot to do with this, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can't help you there, Kevin, but but I'll pass along a good word, or you just did, kind of thing. And you know, some people are saying now, boy, that's kind of tacky by Kevin Green, you know, jumping, going after the, you know, smelling the blood in the
Joey's
water.
Joey's golf, right? Joey's golf.
Yeah, but heck, I guess you got to do what you got to do. Listen, and you know, I only put A and B together on Monday because I don't know if you had saw that piece on Kevin Green prior to the football life, or no, the football life itself, you know.
I haven't taped, and that's why I didn't know he was coaching, and yeah, I watched him where his kid was going to school. You know, it made me look foolish.
I gave you a chance to edit that out, but
I want people to know that I can look foolish just like everybody else.
I'm not going to give him that opportunity. I hold the cassette recorder here.
So. Yes, you do. You got the keys to the cassette.
Speaking of which, you read Norway's doing away with
FM radio.
Yeah,
FM radio. FM,
yeah, Norway killed the radio star. I wonder how many people are going to get that. Jeez, I keep forgetting. I'm getting old. Back on track here, David.
Okay, so back on track. Let's get into the injury situation.
One quick thing. The Steelers linebackers, 2015 was Joey Porter's first year, right, with the outside linebackers. They recorded 15 sacks, the outside linebackers. How many has the outside linebackers had this year?
Guessing the numbers similar because the team's at, what, 34 instead of 48 or something like that, or, you know, because they had such a slow start to the season. I know Budden and Harrison each have about five, and they probably don't have too many more than that. Jarvis won, or Chicolo won, Motes a couple. I'm guessing the number's right on the same number, 16, I'll guess.
Yeah, 16 or 16 and a half. I forget if the hook's involved there or not on the number. But, man, I mean, 31 sacks. And how many of these 31 sacks, David, were over 4 seconds?
Well, you know, we could go back, and I don't know the answer to kind of, you know, if we went back and looked at Lamar Woodley or, you know, the guys, how many prolonged sacks did they get? Certainly, you know, over time, you know, we talk about Harrison's 3 sacks last year against the Colts in the fourth quarter of a blowout. Bud walking into a couple sacks last year and this year. Let's say, I mean, the bigger point here on the outside linebackers is the play has been dramatically better over the last 6 or 8 weeks than it has been over the last 3 years. So all those stats are true, but these guys are actually really impactful right now, as impactful as they've been in forever.
Right. They're getting pressure now where they weren't getting pressure last season. So, well, you know, we talked in the past, you know, sacks aren't everything, but boy, they sure are glorious when the football is coming out like they did, like James Harrison forced two of them in that game the other day. And yes, a lot of those sacks last year were at meaningless times in games, and a lot of them were over four and a half, five seconds. Now, a few of, you know, quite probably five or six of these this year are at least over 4.5, 5 seconds, but at least they're not. For the most part, most of them aren't meaningless. You know, look at the ones James had you know, knocking the football out against the Dolphins. But I guess in so many words, what I'm saying, and remember, how many new outside linebackers are we likely to have in Pittsburgh next year?
One, you know, one who plays. I mean, I don't know whether it'll be starting, depending on what happens with James. But Bud Dupree's locked down his side, so he'll be the starter. We assume Chicklo will be back. Moats will be back as guys. And then, you know, whether James back. But I think we all think probably not in free agency, but they're going to add somebody in the first round or two off the edge.
You could have two, you know, and, you know, depending on what happened. I know people still – I know Arthur Moats is real popular with a lot of people. I like Arthur Moats as well, too. But, you know, at his age –
if you can upgrade anywhere, you upgrade.
Right. I guess what I'm trying to say is don't go writing his name in pencils or pen still as far as a 53, because I think he still might be vulnerable, and there's, you know, it wouldn't kill the Steelers cap wise either. You know,
tell me again exactly what Chicklo's is he a restricted free agent? Is that his situation?
No, he'll be
a right.
Yeah, an exclusive rights.
Exclusive rights. That's what I meant.
Right. So, in other words, you offer him the minimum. He absolutely a 1-year minimal deal for the amount of years he's been in the league, and he absolutely has to take it. And then the following year, he'll be a restricted free agent. So then you can decide what kind of tender that you want there. So he'll, Chicklo will be back competing in training camp on a 1-year minimal deal.
And is it the same for Villanueva?
Absolutely it is.
So likely, let's just say nothing else happens. Likely those two guys, and let's just say they make the team. Those two guys are under control for the next 2 years. It's basically how we look at it.
Yes, sir. Along with the Boz as well.
Right. Okay. And he signed a 2-year deal, right? So the balance of last year and this year.
Right, so he'll be an exclusive rights free agent as well, too. Here's
just so people understand, on Chicklo, he was a draft pick, but the Steelers cut him on the round to 53, and then they had to re-sign. He cleared waivers, they re-signed him to the practice squad, and then through the course of last year, he was moved up to the roster, made some special teams plays last year. So that's why he is not on his rookie deal.
And here's the thing with Arthur Moats, scheduled to earn $2.25 million in 2017, he makes more than James Harrison. And if you're gonna bring how much are you? If you're James Harrison, you're going to be asking more than what you're making now, you would think. And there's no way in heck you can let Arthur Moats make more than James Harrison next season, if you ask me. And look, you only lose.
So let me ask you, would you pay James Harrison $2.5 million?
I'd give him Arthur Moats' money.
Which is what, 2.2?
2.25.
Yeah, so 2.5 for James, which is, you know, you think about it, you know, James has made basically $1 million and his cap hit's been less the past 2 years, right? So, it's just what he's doing this year is unbelievable.
Yeah, no wonder he gets piss tested every week.
let's get our boy Craig in here, because as we get into what all the good things are, and Steeler fans, you've heard me talking about Craig Oxane for a long time now, as mortgage rates are currently near or at all-time lows, and if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, you can contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage, a lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native. Craig's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551. NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And by the way, we didn't mention up top that Adam Teicher of ESPN.com, Kansas City Chiefs beat writer, who was with us before the matchup in week four, will be with us in about 15 minutes. So
wrapping up on James Harrison, he made $1.25 million this season here. And the only restricted free agents that the Steelers are dealing with this year are Ross Cockrell and Chris Hubbard are your two restricted.
Both back.
Right. And the only question is do you – with Ross Cockrell, you might want to consider putting a second round tender on him, right? Instead of an original round tender, because
he was fourth round, right?
Here's the thing with him, because
Buffalo drafted him,
right? Because he came that way, the original round tender might turn into a right, which is the same amount of right of first refusal. It might, right. I believe it turns into right of first refusal. In other words. If another team offers,
so what would a second round tender cost?
I think it's going to be like 2.7 or 2.6, maybe. I mean, these numbers aren't set yet, but
I think. Well, you know, that's a really interesting question, because if the rights tender is you know $1 million, let's just play with round numbers, $1 million versus 2.5.
Well, I think the original round I have factored in it like 1.9 versus like 2.8. So 1.9 for right.
So $1 million difference.
Right. And, right.
Yeah. So for playing with your starting corner, I probably, you're not really playing with them, but that's a good question. Let's table that one for when we can spend some more time thinking about it.
All right.
That's a very good question.
And with Chris Hubbard, I think you just offer him the right of first refusal.
Yeah. And you got to, I mean, again, just say it for the 20th time. You got to love where the Steelers offensive line is going into next season. It's, you know, assuming these guys stay healthy for the rest balance of the season, all under contract with the Villanueva situation we just talked about. Hawkins coming off the IR. The real step forward that Chris Hubbard and B.J. Finney took this year, and then Mihalik is kind of your developmental guy. That's nine guys. You get some undrafted free agents in there. I don't think you use a draft pick on there's not a lot of room at the end, so I don't think you use a draft pick on an offensive lineman. You bring some guys in, but you have to like where they are right now.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, Ryan Harris is still under contract.
Ryan Harris, right. Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, if you need some. I mean, obviously, if he can't beat some guys out like Gerald Hawkins or whatnot, he's gone, and you save a little cap money in the process. But I mean, he's still in town.
He'll come to camp. To camp. That's 10 guys right there into camp. So that's a good situation.
And I apologize. All right, I apologize for sending you way down this rabbit hole this morning.
No, it's good. Still good rabbit holes. Good rabbit holes. And we're gonna have Friday's gonna be dedicated. You know, the last 20 minutes of this program and all Friday will be dedicated to the Chiefs. But let's get into the injury report. And it pretty much, as we've talked about and as expected, my expectation is Ladarius Green will practice today. If he doesn't, it's a massive red flag. And if he doesn't practice today, I think you can probably, you know, if we're guessing from the data points, you can probably guess he's not playing. If he practices today, it'll be just like last week, that he will have had an extended period of time off now, 5 days. He'll re-exert energy, see, you know, full physical activity, see how if he has any symptoms. Do the same thing Thursday. I'm sure they will not hurry to clear him. So Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, I expect the schedule to go just like last week. And the question will be, does he practice Friday? Because I think if he practices Wednesday and Thursday and then does practice Friday, that means he'll be – I would think that will clear him for concussion protocol on Friday. And he'd be good to go. But anything more than that, Dave and I are just guessing on whether he goes or not. So we'll see how the next 48 hours play out. And then, Dave, the four guys, you know, who didn't play, or three who didn't play with ankle injuries, and then Williams played, but, you know, didn't make it sound like he was in great shape. And then you put the GIF up. And again, I watched that play live, and I watched them lie there for 20 years to play. It's impossible to see what happens then other than he lands awkwardly on his shoulder and neck, right?
Yeah, you just kind of broke up there with your connection there, so you might want to just read.
Sorry, I was talking about the other three guys with the ankle injuries. Vince Williams, who didn't seem to be in great shape, according to Mike, the way he described him, still with the shoulder injury. And then Sean Davis, you see the play, and I watched it, and he lay there for 20 seconds, and you can't really, he doesn't touch anything. It's just, he must have landed awkwardly on his shoulder and neck.
Yeah, then like the next player to play after, he has to use that as well too, and looked like he wasn't feeling too good there. So and Mike Tomlin didn't know really, said after the game there could be, I guess, some repercussions there or moving forward with him. So probably expect him to not be full. As far as Ladarius Green, are you hopeful even if Ladarius Green goes limited on Wednesday, or do you need to see him go full on Wednesday and Thursday?
I feel like if they limit him, that here's the way I think about the concussion protocol is, if he hasn't shown any signs for these 5 days, they'll let him go because I imagine he's ridden a bike and done other things. And none of us know, because we didn't get any information, what happened Thursday after practice. So, but you know, this is a long time. We're a long time away from Thursday now. We're a long time. We're a week away almost. So I would be, again, if they let him go full last week and he then showed some symptoms and they don't let him go full this week, I would take that as anything other than full as a bad sign. Now, again, I'm just guessing, but that is how I would read it.
I would read it that same way as well, too. It'll be disappointing if he only goes limited. But look, I mean, who knows? Maybe he goes limited, full, and then plays. We'll see. Chick, boy, you sure would like to have Chicklo and Golden and Williams on hand for special teams purposes against the Chiefs. We'll see how that goes. Fitz Toussaint, we'll see what happens with him. He's in concussion protocol right now along with Ladarius Green. Mike Tomlin said the foot injury that Roethlisberger aggravated is an old injury that Roethlisberger aggravated. Doesn't anticipate that being an issue. He said Le'Veon Bell might not practice on Wednesday because Le'Veon Bell got some bumps and bruises associated with playing football. And then Sean Davis with that shoulder will be monitored throughout the week. So, not an awful injury report. It's all going to center around Ladarius Green and guys like Chicklo, Golden, and Ricardo Matthews.
Sean Davis and Green, obviously the biggest ones that we'll see how things go today. So, okay, Dave, couple things let me pull up something I wanted to get to.
More stuff Tomlin said.
Yeah, let's get into, so the kick return situation, I asked him, it's my weekly kick return question, and so we didn't mention Fitz Toussaint in concussion protocol.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
So that's big news. And again, just my read on stuff is guys don't clear concussions in a week in the NFL. They do in other sports, but you rarely see guys. So now remember, he mentioned B.J. Finney in concussion protocol, and B.J. practiced Wednesday and was able to go. So B.J. never missed time. So that'll be the key for Fitz today. Shemarco Thomas never got back. Is he able to practice fully today? So if he's able to practice fully today, that will mean that he didn't show a lot of symptoms in the short term. And so they were just being extra cautious because it was a post-game type of thing. And so that'll be the key. So now let's follow that up with the kick return situation, Dave. And again, we talked about it Monday, the Steelers return game. The Steelers special teams have gone from reasonably good the first half of the season to poor the second half of the season. And, the first kick of the game, tough call by Fitz. He's got to bring it out. Okay, gets to the 15. Then they start a short kick, and he gets to the 18 or something. And then coach brings one out 3 yards deep, and he gets to the 17. It's a disaster. So I asked again specifically, you're 18 games into the season, and you haven't used Ayers and Justin Gilbert. Is there an opportunity this late in the season to change and use those guys? And he went back to the conversation we had 2 weeks ago when I pointed Kobe Hamilton hadn't returned a kick since his sophomore year in college, and he used Hamilton. So he didn't rule it out, but Dave, would it surprise you if either of those guys got an opportunity?
Ayers or Gilbert?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
So would I.
It's not Tomlin's MO. Do you really want? And besides, do you really want a rookie out there in a playoff game? First, uh, first kick returns, you know, I know several people will say, well, can it be worse? Well, he could fumble, you know, so teach these guys how to kneel down in the end zone. The ball at the 25 is a huge improvement.
So everybody being healthy, it's going to be status quo, right?
I suppose, David, the best I can see, maybe Mike Tomlin will surprise us. I mean,
what would you do?
I'd put Justin Gilbert back there on kickoff returns.
With Cutts.
With somebody.
Yeah, me too. I'd have Gilbert and Cutts back there.
I mean, at least he has some game experience doing it. I mean, obviously with the Browns, he doesn't have playoff experience, but if you're not going to use him at cornerback, which we'll be talking about here in just a minute, I mean, use him on special teams, for God's sakes. But, put Darius Hayward Bay back there. I mean, I know he don't have experience.
You know what? If they win again and they get another bad week, that'll be my question for next week. Can DHB return kicks, Mike? I mean, I've mentioned every other guy on the roster who can run 4 or 5 or better.
I mean, look, and the joke here obviously will be, you know, DHB, bad hands, yada, yada, yada. But you have him out there on the hands team. DHB and hands team. Whoever thought we'd hear that together. But that guy's still got some wheels. Did you see the GIF that I
Right side on it. And by the way, I will tell you on that kick return, there was a brief blink of time that I thought he might take it to the house. But yeah, DHB comes right from the 25-30 yard line on the right side of the field to engage the guy at about midfield or just around midfield.
Now, obviously, you and I both know we're not going to see DHB back there returning kickoffs, but I would like to know why.
No, I'm going to ask next week what his capability is. Maybe I'll ask him specifically. Maybe I'll try and get over to the locker room on Friday and see if I can do that
done. But before I know we'll get some, you know, DHB needs to be blocking on the kickoff routine, probably other than returning. Well, heck, I mean, if the other 10 aren't going to block it, probably doesn't matter what DHB does either here. So let's get on to what else Mike Tomlin said on
TV. Well, let's go right into what you talked. And by the way, feel free to use my name in your beautiful articles, because I think the three of the four things you wrote about were the questions I asked about Dime. And that goes right to you then wrote about what they did last game. And if our listeners remember, this is week 4, right? And so the Steelers got Justin Gilbert in week 1, basically, right at the end of the preseason. So he didn't play with him at all. And there was a question about working him in and what kind of role he would have this year. And none of us really knew. I mean, the upside was going to be that, you know, he was could be a dime guy, or if somebody got hurt, you know, maybe he'd be a starting guy on the outside. Well, obviously, Artie and Ross have done their job and gazed the nickel corner. So he's been a guy who's been down as often as not when guys are healthy. So I just asked if they would use Dime, because Travis Kelce has been, you know, look, first team all pro, not Pro Bowl. I think he was first team all pro. So it tells you everything you need to know about him. And they put Justin Gilbert specifically right on top of Kelce, so he didn't get a free release a bunch of times. And Gilbert did a nice job. So I just asked Mike, are you going to go Dime again? And all he would say, and I didn't expect him to, you know, give away the game plan, but he just said, we did last time.
Here's the thing with Gilbert. He played, what, eight defensive snaps in that game against the Chiefs. He went on to play 11 during the season, okay? I'm sorry, say again?
3 more or 11 more?
No, 3 more.
3 more all season.
3 more defensive snaps all season.
Yeah, that's a great snap, yep.
Justin Gilbert also missed practice time last week, didn't he? And ended up being inactive for the game against the Miami Dolphins. So let me ask you, how involved do you think he is with that moving train since week 4 of the season? He's missed some practices, being sick, been inactive a few times. I personally, and look, Tomlin surprised me in the past, David. Personally, I think I'll be surprised if we see Justin Gilbert on the field this time.
And I would agree. And I would say that means he probably isn't dressed. Now, the question is here, if you're they chose to dress Shabazz over Gilbert, he's more of a special teams player. Shabazz left the team, obviously. He was with the Texans for a week or two this year when he didn't clear waivers on the way back through. So they have him. He's a special teams guy. Now, the question is, if you get guys like Ciccolo and Golden back, do you flip it and say, okay, because Gilbert's a guy we feel more – now, I don't know that this is true, but I'm speculating. Gilbert is a guy we feel more comfortable in being our – if we want to go dime and putting him on top of Kelsey, that will sit Shabazz and dress Gilbert because we have the other guys back for special teams, so we feel better about our depth there, and this is a guy who's more likely to help us in our defensive packages, our sub-package football.
Did Tomlin give us our answer, though, during his rundown? Because remember, he said, you know, when he's talking about Kelsey, he says he's a special guy. He's a matchup issue. Too athletic for linebackers, too big and strong, oftentimes for secondary people. It's probably going to require a combination of both. Would you consider putting Sean Davis on top of him? And in other words, play some dime with, and assuming Robert
was with Golden or Dangerfield.
Golden on the field. You don't. I don't think you want Dangerfield over top of Kelsey, right?
No, no. I mean, Dangerfield in for Davis. Dangerfield or Golden in for Davis in that role.
And we did see Dangerfield on the field this past week, right?
Three or four snaps.
For four or five snaps.
Interesting question. My answer would be I would, you know, look, I've been leaning toward Justin Gilbert all year. I want to see when you have that kind of physical talent and pedigree. As far as we know, he hasn't had any issues in the locker room or off the field or being late. You know, there's not a word has been said about that. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but nobody's heard a word about it. So I just, you know, I want to see him. I want to see him do it. But your idea of putting Sean Davis over, I don't think they want to move Sean Davis out of the role that he's gotten so good at. So I would be surprised if they did it with Davis.
Well, then if they don't, then maybe you put Gilbert out there. Maybe you put Gilbert. We'll talk more about this on Friday. Let's get to Tomlin's comments on why he didn't pull Ben.
So, look, you know, Dave and I are both on record that he should have pulled Ben. And when asked about it, Mike said he wanted to have Ben make the reads in the run game. He said he could make the checks in the run game. And I have to give Ed Bouchette props. Ed's the law, you know, the dean of the beat writers, and he's a very pleasant, nice guy. I don't really always think of him as a funny guy, but he was doing a little hit, and I heard him say, "I don't care if it's Czechs or Russians or Canadians. He should have been on the field." And that reminded me of a line you would say, Dave.
I'm not even that brilliant to think of that.
Well, you're funny.
Funny like a clown.
Funny, ha ha.
Funny, ha. So I amuse you.
Yes, you amuse.
See, I'm funny that way. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not brilliant funny. I'm 80s. 80s mute. 80s pop culture funny.
So the answer is, I think Mike got it wrong. Everybody in the, you know, whether you think it's right or wrong, everybody, and I don't always want to be grouped with the rest of the media, but I think most people in that room thought he got it wrong. I know a lot of people have pointed to, oh, well, Rodgers and Brady stayed in the game and they had just as big leads and they played the rest of the game. Look, here's the deal. If your argument to support your case is somebody else did it, that's not a good argument. The argument that Dave and I are putting forward is there is no reward and some level of risk to having Ben out there. And the risk was pretty damn close. Now, so that was the first thing he said. And then the second thing he said was, you know, I'll take responsibility for the play call. And then he amended that and said, no, I'm not going to take responsibility. I made the play call. So don't go ask Todd on Thursday, obviously meaning Todd Haley. Somebody misinterpreted that, me being me, Todd being me. Don't ask Haley on Thursday, whether he made the call. I made the call. And he basically said I shouldn't have. He said I took too much risk there. And so that's what he said.
Yeah, I said, I got a little over-aggressive there, and it goes beyond taking responsibility. I made the call, so don't ask Todd Haley about it on Thursday. You tell them not to ask Todd Haley on Thursday. They're going to ask Todd.
First question.
First question.
Todd, did you make the call?
Well, here's the thing. Once again, we had Ben's radio show before Tomlin's press conference. And
I've been talking about that, the young receiver.
Right,
the young receiver didn't run the right routes.
And said Todd Haley called to play. So, you know, here we go again. He said Ben said. You know, it seems like we do this every other week with these two. But I understand Tomlin's. Why not just say that? Okay, we wanted Ben in there to get us maybe in and out of some plays, and it's okay to say Todd Haley called to play if that's indeed what happened. But
doesn't it sound silly to say
it's a three possession game?
Wanted Ben in there to read the run checks.
At a three possession game, right?
I mean, Landry just played a whole game last week. It's not like he hasn't taken a snap this year. He played the whole game last week. He's watching the game on the sidelines. And by all accounts, he's a pretty cerebral guy. I mean, it's not like Landry can't get you out of one freaking run check.
Yeah, and what if he messes that run check up and runs?
Or throws an interception. Oh, wait, that's what happened.
Oh, yeah. And gets hurt. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean – Just say you didn't want to pull him out of game, or what? You know, Ben didn't want to come out of game, or whatever.
Ben totally put that on Mike. He said on his show that
he did.
That's not my decision. I never. You know, that's the coach's decision. So and it is.
Then the follow up question on what, you know, what lead would make him feel comfortable to put Landry Jones in? It really depends on circumstances. Okay. Yeah. Evidently a three possession game with 5-something minutes left is not the circumstance.
Not enough. Not enough in the playoffs. That's going to be something to watch going forward. So let me follow. Was there anything? Let me just follow this up, and this will be another thing we talk about on Friday. And I put a poll up on Twitter on this, so if anybody wants to take a shot at it, just very simply, Dave, who's the better coach, Mike Tomlin or Andy Reid? Because they're both often criticized. They both get killed for clock management. They're both tremendously successful. Mike's won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid's done it with two organizations. Is it clear to you that one guy's better than the other?
I wouldn't say it's clear one's better than the other. I mean, Mike's got the hardware, right? I mean, they're both good coaches. I mean, when I think of good coaches, I think of both those guys.
I agree. And I don't think it's clear cut. I would assume Steeler fans would take Mike and Chiefs fans would take Andy Reid.
Absolutely. I mean, I haven't given it much thought.
How about Mike unprompted acknowledging Andy Reid 19-2 off byes?
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
By the way, that's not a small sample size stat. That is a meaningful stat. That's telling. You take any sample of 21 games and any NFL thing, and you're not going to come up with 1% of any kind of thing you judge is going to come up 19-2.
That's a heck of a stat. Mike Tomlin asked on Tyreek Hill how he will handle kicking to him very thoughtfully. Let's hope he does, because if there's one player this week, and I said this even before the last game was over on Twitter, two words about the game against KC, Tyreek Hill. This guy can kill you.
Also my question.
What's that?
Also my question. I want full props here.
Very thoughtfully, and it's easier said than done. You saw what trying directional kick did to us a couple weeks ago. That got
a chuckle, by the way. You know, he got a couple chuckles. That was, people were like, oh yeah, that didn't go well.
Yeah, and this, I mean, this is going to be no laughing matter come Sunday, rest assured. With the weather, who knows what it's going to be? Will Boswell...
With how bad swim kick coverage has been?
Yeah.
Disaster.
Punting, directional punting. I mean, let's hope we don't... Let's hope Jordan Berry doesn't have to punt a lot. But Tyreek Hill is a guy that should scare the hell out of you right now. And, you know, he plays wide receiver, and he finished second on the team in receptions with them and had, like, what, six receiving touchdowns during the season. This is a guy that you and I don't even think, spent a lot of time talking about in the first meeting between the teams. And here we are, you know, all these weeks later, and him and Travis Kelce are the guys that we're worried about here. So, this special teams unit, you know, minus Shamarco Thomas, minus Steven Johnson, minus Darius Hayward-Bey for several weeks of the season. Remember, they were without him for about six. Anthony Chickalo's banged up with an ankle. Vince Williams banged up with a shoulder. There's reason to be concerned. And, look, if this doesn't go well on Sunday for the Steelers, and because of their special teams, that might be it for Danny Smith.
Well, and yeah, and he can maybe make a very good case for himself if things go the other way. So that certainly be something to pay attention to. Dave, we got to get to our guy here in a second. Anything else to wrap up the press conference, and we'll wait for today's injury report, and obviously have a full go and getting into the X's and O's on Friday. But anything else to add?
No. Let's get to our guest, and then we'll close things up on the backside.
Okay, Adam Teicher coming up next.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast, and it's our Wednesday edition, but we're doing a little taping on Tuesday with Chiefs beat reporter Adam Teicher of ESPN, ESPN.com. Adam was with us before the Week 4 game between Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Adam, I know it's a busy week. I appreciate you making time for us again.
Absolutely.
Adam, you know, down the stretch here, the injuries to Oakland, the Chiefs playing their best football. How much of a focus did Andy Reid put on making sure they won the division and the bye? I know, you know, it's what everybody aspires to, but just tell me how things went down the stretch for the team.
Well, I mean, you know, that was certainly a goal of the Chiefs. You know, they didn't want to go on the road again like they had to for their first couple of playoff games last year, and they wanted a home playoff game. Been a while since they've had one. So, you know, it was, you know, getting the first round bye, all that, it was a big deal. You know, and just besides that, you know, the Chiefs have they haven't won the AFC West in Andy Reid's time. I mean, they'd made the playoffs, but they were looking for a little more. And so, you know, this was a big deal to everybody for sure.
When the Steelers played the Dolphins last week, the storyline, obviously Miami wins game one in Miami, and the teams look very different going into the playoff game this past weekend for the Steelers, all sorts of guys on defense, a different set of guys. I know for the Chiefs, the story is going to be a little bit the same. They lose in Pittsburgh, but they get this game at home. But also Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, Terrence Smith, of course, Justin Houston. How different is this Chiefs team than the team the Steelers saw in Week 4?
Yeah, it's quite a bit different. I mean, you know, there's a number of things. You know, the Chiefs offensively really struggling early in the season. You know, when they got to Pittsburgh, they had scored, I think, one offensive touchdown in the previous eight quarters. You know, they were just really struggling, and that continued through the first quarters of that game before the Chiefs finally scored a couple touchdowns. But that just tells you where the Chiefs were offensively at that time, you know, as opposed to now, where they've had probably two of their better offensive games of the season in the last couple of games. You know, as you say, Tyreek Hill has kind of emerged as a big time guy and, you know, a bigger part of the Chiefs offense. You know, so they, you know, those are some pretty big things. You know, they're playing at home now, obviously. Chiefs have won 10 of 12, although I know the Steelers are on a winning streak also, but just a different team overall for the Chiefs for sure.
Adam, when you go back and you watch and you know, the game, the first meeting between these two teams back in Week 4 and moving forward, what specifically sticks out to you? You know, even though Alex Smith passed for 287 yards in that game, he was sacked four times. The running game, outside of really a very late, I believe, late run by Spencer Ware, running game really non-existent. How have you seen this offense, you know, progress specifically since that first meeting?
Well, a lot of it is Tyreek Hill. You know, that he's just such a big part of what they do now. And he was in for, I think, 18 snaps against the Steelers. So he got the ball a little bit, but he's more of a prominent part of what they do now, for sure. You know, Travis Kelce has kind of emerged too. You know, he didn't have much, he had a pretty quiet night against the Steelers, but, you know, he's had some huge games here down the stretch, some games where he's really been the best player on the field. So, you know, the Chiefs have found a way. They move him around, they move him around a little more, line him up wide, those kinds of things, in the effort to get him some rematch, a matchup, favorable matchups, and it's worked. So, you know, just their better players are playing better. That's really what you have to say, and that really mainly speaks to Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
I listened to Andy Reid talk to the media yesterday and talking about Justin Houston being back. And of course, Spencer Ware, who I believe missed the regular season finale because of a rib injury there. But when you go back and you know that Houston only played, I think it was 50-something snaps in his last game that he played way back, I think week 15 or so against the Titans. Are you expecting is he going to be on a pitch count per se? In other words, I mean, should we expect him a heavy rotation, I guess, with him and Tamba Hulley, opposite D Ford?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect of Justin Houston. Been a while since he's played for the Chiefs. You're right. He didn't play a full game in his last game against Tennessee, and then he missed the last two. I'm not convinced he's going to play at all. I mean, he might, but you know, the Chiefs have just been a little weird about this one. And we'll see as the week goes on. I mean, I think tomorrow will be a pretty good gauge. If he's able to practice fully, that's a pretty good sign that he'll probably be ready to go on Sunday. But and right now, we're just going to see what the week brings, because the Chiefs have been confident before that he would play, and he wound up he didn't. So we'll just have to see how it goes with him.
Adam, how good has the running game been of late? If you look at Football Outsiders, one of the things about the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Patriots, they're three of the more balanced teams coming into the playoffs in terms of how they operate, both offensively and defensively, and then run pass. I was surprised to see the Chiefs have been better throwing the ball than running the ball this year in terms of how Football Outsiders looks at their stats.
Yeah, their running game really, particularly the last part of the season, hadn't given them a whole lot. You know, and what it has been a lot is Tyreek Hill running out of the backfield. He's had a couple, one I think was 68 yards, one was 70 yards, a touchdown runs out of the backfield. They have a play that went down. It was actually a fake punt. They snapped to the protector on a punt formation, and he ran it in 55. Albert Wilson ran it in 55 yards for a touchdown. That counts as a rush. But the Chiefs just haven't been getting a lot out of their run game. Spencer Ware was having a decent game against the Broncos before he got hurt, and that was a pretty good sign. But he didn't play in the last game. It looks like he'll be ready to go on Sunday. But it's just a matter of getting him going. You know, Alex Smith last year, his scrambling was such a big part of his game. Rushed for almost 500 yards during the regular season. I think he had 135 or something like that this year. So his scrambling was way down, and that's just another sign of the Chiefs running game just not getting it done. That part of their game has definitely not been where the Chiefs would like it.
And do you put that more on the offensive line, or is that, you know, the backs aren't, you know, it's not exactly Jamaal Charles? I mean, obviously Charles missed a fair bit of last year as well. What would you attribute it to?
Well, Spencer Ware is a different kind of back. I mean, he doesn't have that kind of speed to he's certainly not Jamaal Charles or Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's not his strength. So, a lot of the times, you know, there's been plays where you think, wait, a back with speed might have made a decent gain on a particular play, but Ware, that's not his game. He runs with more of a physical style. He'll beat up a defense more than he'll run around it. So, a lot of times the blocking just hasn't been there. So the Chiefs have been doing a much better job, particularly last half of the season, at pass protection than at run blocking.
This Chiefs defense, the last time these two teams got together, it seems like the Chiefs might have been missing a corner in that game. I can't remember specifically, but Le'Veon Bell, that was his 2016 debut, and he had quite a game, if you will. And it seems like the Chiefs run defense has been kind of hit and miss so far this year. Is that what you're seeing? What are they going to have to do different this time that they weren't able to accomplish in the last meeting between these two teams?
Yeah, their run defense has been hit and miss, and it's been more missed than hit. I mean, that's not been a real strength for the Chiefs this year. They've had their moments, but struggled a lot of other times, and certainly that Pittsburgh game was one of them. Yeah, I mean, it's a dilemma for the Chiefs, you know. Do they commit more resources to it? Is that what you really want to do against a team with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger and Sammy Coates and guys like that? So, I don't know. It's a dilemma for the Chiefs, and they might have to pick their poison a little bit, mix things up, and maybe try to confuse the Steelers a little bit. I don't know how they handle it, but that's going to be one of the interesting things to this game is certainly if the Chiefs handle things better, their problems on the back end of their defense and their pass defense that night in Pittsburgh. I mean, they just had a couple breakdowns. They did have a starter out, a guy by the name of Philip Gaines, and he didn't play, and they had to go with a rookie as their third corner. And Roethlisberger really made him look bad. So, the Chiefs, I think they'll probably be a little stronger with their pass defense, but we'll just have to find out on Sunday.
You talk about that, Adam. You've mentioned a couple guys in the injury report. Obviously, we haven't seen the Chiefs injury report in 2 weeks now, and being Tuesday, we're not going to get anything for the next 24 hours. But generally, are they coming into this game relatively healthy?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Justin Houston. That's kind of a big question mark. They've lost some guys along the way, obviously, like every team. Derek Johnson, their superb inside linebacker, he's not going to play. He's out for the season. He tore his Achilles a few weeks ago. And Jamal Charles is obviously not going to be around. The Chiefs lost him several weeks ago as well. So, those are two pretty key guys. But other than that, the Chiefs are in decent shape for what you might hope for this time of year. So, if Houston can play and be effective, I think the Chiefs would be really happy with their injury situation.
Mike Tomlin today at his press conference talked about them being a big play team, the turnover differential and the success they've had in that area. When you look at that defense, oftentimes when you think about big play teams, it could be boom or bust. You look at the personnel, particularly in the back with Peters and Barry both being all pro type players. Is that their biggest strength in the back? Let me ask it the other way. If you were attacking the Chiefs defense, how would you attack it?
Well, we talked about their problems with the run defense. I mean, Tennessee came in here. The last team to beat the Chiefs was Tennessee, and they basically ran DeMarco Murray until the Chiefs made him stop, and the Chiefs never really made him stop. So, that's kind of how they were able to win the game. They, Marcus Mariota played a pretty nice game on top of that, and the Titans were able to get it done right at the end. But, I think if there's a weakness to the Chiefs defense, it's there. They'll give up some yards in the passing game. I mean, that's kind of their MO, but they play great red zone defense. They get a lot of turnovers. There's a lot of interceptions. Marcus Peters didn't have a very good game against the Steelers, but he's had a really good year. And he's one of the top corners in the league. So Roethlisberger needs to be careful throwing into his area. I think if you're going to attack the Chiefs with a strong running game is really the way to go because, while they've allowed a lot of yards through the air, they haven't allowed a ton of touchdowns and a lot of points. The Chiefs are, I think, seventh in the league in scoring defense, which is kind of weird. You look at the amount of yards they've given up, and you think, wow, this has got to be a team near the bottom of the league. But that's not where the Chiefs are right now.
And, again, you look at this, and the Chiefs are tops in the leagues as special teams in terms of what they're able to do, and that focuses on Tyreek Hill. How about their coverage units and the rest of the special teams?
Yeah, they're pretty solid. I mean, they generally win in the kicking game. That's kind of been their strength, and even throwing out the returns, which is hard to do because that's been a strength. They do a nice job in coverage, particularly in punt coverage. Their punter's excellent pinning the ball inside the 20-yard line. Their kicker had a little bit of ups and downs during the season, but some of them weather-related, but which could be a problem again on Sunday. But you know, generally done a nice job. So the Chiefs have been solid in the kicking game. That's one reason they they're where they are, because they've generally won that phase of the game, and that's. You know, that's what the Chiefs have to have. I mean, they generally can't rely on their defense to win a game for them, or their offense, or even their special teams. They've got to get a little bit from everywhere. That's kind of been their recipe for success.
All right, let's put it to you. Steelers going into Arrowhead. These teams have only met once in the playoffs. Kind of, so that's a little bit unbelievable. I think it was 93 when Montana beat the Steelers. Look, they're both playing good football. They're both relatively healthy. Ben has not been particularly good on the road, but obviously the Steelers come in with their weapons, which they haven't had in the playoffs in the past couple of years. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a hard game to call. I mean, you know, I think the Chiefs have a lot going for them. You talked about them being at home. You know, they're playing pretty well, maybe as well as they've played all season long, but I know the Steelers have as well. You know, it's going to be tough. I think if the Chiefs play their game, they'll win. But, you know, I'll just say something that point out something that happened in the playoff game when they lost to New England last year. I'm talking about the Chiefs now. Their big guys, the big offensive players really didn't show up. You know, Travis Kelce did almost nothing against the Patriots last year. Jeremy Maclin did almost nothing. Spencer Ware, well, he was bad. He had a bad ankle, so he didn't play. He played a little bit on special teams, but didn't play on offense. So the Chiefs' best players really did nothing for them on offense. And if that's going to be the case this week, they got no shot to beat the Steelers. I don't expect Kelce and Hill and those guys to match the Chiefs, or to match Bell and Brown and everybody else yard for yard. But they're going to have to contribute a lot. But if that's going to be the case where the Chiefs get nothing from their big guns on offense, they can forget about it. I think that's going to be a key for me to watch. They got to get contributions early and often from guys like Hill, Kelce, and Jeremy Maclin.
Adam, awesome stuff, man. I apologize. I'm not going to be going out to Kansas City on Sunday. Great insights. We'll look forward to following you on Twitter throughout the week and get updates as to what's going on. Enjoy the game, and I hope we get a chance to do this again next year.
Hey, anytime, guys.
All right, Dave, good stuff with Adam. Again, not unexpected. I guess the most surprising thing that I thought he said the whole thing was not even sure Justin Houston will go. So it'll be interesting to see the injury report from the Chiefs side of things about that and where that's headed.
Yeah, and Justin Houston's D Ford's the guy on that other side. The Steelers really need to be worried about. We'll preview this game a lot more in depth on Friday as well too. And funny that Adam wasn't willing to throw out a real prediction for us. A lot of ifs, ands, and maybes associated with that. So maybe he's not too sure about it either. This game, I think, started off roughly around a pick 'em at some spots. The Chiefs favored by, what, 2.5 points right now. Probably not overly surprising considering the post-game news with Ben Roethlisberger there. This is going to be a great game, I have a feeling, David, and we'll get into it more, of course, on Friday. Folks can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. I think you need to give our boy a shout-out here one more time.
Yes, Craig Oxen, our main man. You know how the mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger. Let Craig guide you through this sometimes daunting process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Kansas City. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, give Craig Oxen a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. You can call Craig Oxen today, 855-961-7763, 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com, or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company, NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender.
One, David's one, the be- one, one final note here. The Steelers have signed running back Gus Johnson to the practice squad. Running back Dremius Smith, who was on the practice squad, is now injured and moved over to that list accordingly right now. So one really minor transaction here on this Wednesday. Folks, just
throw in that this is the best NFL weekend of the year. And the matchups are, you know, Saturday night matchup, we'll see. But really, I think you have the seven best teams in football left of the eight left. So it should be a great weekend.
Yeah, and follow the show on Twitter at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause, please go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button up top right navigational bar. Thanks for everybody to listen. We had a record listenership last week, and amazing. Just think what it would have been if we wouldn't have lost that episode.
The lost episode.
Right. So thanks everybody for listening. We surely do appreciate it. Get us out of here, David.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.